And we're going to begin a new series this morning that I've entitled Voices, 1 Corinthians 14. While you're turning there, allow me to begin, introduce this series with who has ever read John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Very good story. Very descriptive of our Christian journey, isn't it? And it's about a man whose name is Christian, a father and a husband, that hits a spiritual crisis. And so he embarks on this journey after an encouragement to leave basically a city that was to be left behind. And on his journey, he encounters several different characters. Some good characters like Charity and Hope and others. But then you had some bad characters like Demas, the worldly wise men. I'm getting it right, hon? Worldly wise men, Apollyon that he has a fight with and defeats. And it's very, as you read it, it really connects to the different voices, as it were, in our Christian journey. How many of y'all who have walked with the Lord for over 10 years can tell me that there are many different voices upon this journey? And not all are good, and not all are encouraging, and not all are of God. Amen? There are some that are trying to discourage us. Christian on his journey encountered discouragement. He encountered temptation. He encountered Demas, who offered him silver and all the worldly wealth available that was available to him, but he resisted that. Okay, so we're going to talk about different voices in our lives and the impact that they can have on us if we are not careful. It is important that we identify these voices for us to continue solidly on the straight and the narrow. Can I get a witness on that, please? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's read one verse of scripture. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I'm going to tell you outright, the King James Version on this one. Verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance or meaning. There are many different voices. Now, why do I prefer the King James Version over the New King James or the NIV? It's not just because I wanted to say what I think it should say, but the Greek word for languages or voices, depending on your translation, is the Greek word phonos. Phonos. What English word does that resemble? What about phonics? Phonetic? That's where we get that word from. So it really is speaking of sounds, not languages. That's why I prefer the King James Version. There are many different kinds of voices, and each voice has a particular meaning. Along with that, how many of y'all would agree with me that each voice has its particular purpose in our lives, whether good or bad? Right? There are many different voices that come at us. Some are good. The majority of them, I would dare say, are probably not good. And they have a purpose, and they're not coming from God. They're coming from the enemy to dissuade us, to discourage us, to have us filled with despondency, to try to seduce our affections away from Christ. Can we be honest? Can we keep it real here? Who has ever struggled with spiritual seduction in your life? Amen. AKA temptation. Me too. I'm sure I can speak for you. I long for the day when I lay down this physical body with its appetites and my psyche, part of which is the sinful nature which we all have been infected with. Amen, right? Because of Adam's sin. Then sin passed upon all the whole of humanity. You have it, I have it. Well, not me, Pastor Joe. Well, you're in denial, baby. You live in Egypt, baby, because you in denial. Somebody got it. So, Craig, you loved it. You loved it, Craig. You had a big smile. You're like, oh, yeah, that really ministered to me. I'm messing with you.
That's a bad joke.
That's a bad joke.
Dad.
A dad joke. I'm a dad, yeah. Where's my daughter? Let's get spiritual, people. So we all have it, and there is a pool inside of us to walk away from Christ, not permanently, but temporarily when temptation is presented us. Amen? You're pulled, I'm pulled. We all have our particular pool. Who's ever had a car that needed the tires rotated? Because if you, once you took your hands off the steering wheel, which I don't recommend, because if you do it, then something's going to happen. You're going to come back on me, Pastor Joe, it's his fault. No, but where you let go of the steering wheel and the car automatically veered left or veered right. It's no different with us. Can I get a witness, please? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Another translation reads like this, who can cure it? Well, Paul went on to say in Romans 7, rather, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ we have the victory. All right, enough of that. Suffice it to say that we all have voices trying to distract us, trying to get us to give up, trying to get us to give in, trying to get us to wear us out, right? Isn't that another one? Try to wear, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, a lot of Christians, they say, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And I'm thinking, why is that laudable? Why is that praiseworthy? Because either way, you're out. So, you know, it's like saying, I'd rather be a workaholic than a couch potato. Either way, you're going to be out. I'd rather be in the straight and the narrow, come on somebody, with my hand to the plow till Jesus comes back. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I don't want to be in the ditches when he comes back. Well, why are you in the ditch, son? Well, I burned out, and I was proud of it, Lord. All right, go with me to John chapter 9. So far, so good. I just wanted to introduce that. There are many voices in the world. Each has its own meaning. Each has its own purpose. Go with me to John chapter 9, please. We're going to look at an account where Jesus heals this blind man, born blind from birth, obviously. And he asks the disciples go to him and they asked him, because the Jewish mentality was that if you were born with a disease or a sickness, then there was a particular sin in somebody's life, in that person's life, in the blind man's life, or his parents, that caused that sickness to manifest, or that disease rather, to manifest in that person's body. Okay, so we'll just read, jump into verse 1 and 2. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? All right? See the mentality of the Jews? If you're sick, if you're diseased, if you're incapacitated, if you're disabled, it's somebody's fault. There's got to be a smoking gun. Either you pulled the trigger or your parents pulled the trigger, and that's the reason why this dude was born blind. That was the mentality. Jesus said, neither was it this guy's fault nor his parents. That guy was born blind for the glory of God. For the glory of God was not that he was glorifying God while blind. The glory of God was that God was going to manifest his power through this blind man by healing his blindness. Amen? All right. Now, jump down with me if you would, please. And we're just going to go in. He tells the man, he makes, I love Jesus, he made clay with his spit on the ground, and he placed the saliva and the mud thing over the guy's eyes, told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash himself, and then he's healed. Okay, so let's read verse 8. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore, they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Okay? Now, let's stop there. Very interesting. We're talking about different voices. Who was this crowd? This crowd we just read about. Did they not know him? It's an open book quick, so let's read this again. Verse 8, therefore, what's the whom? The neighbors and those who previously had known him. Okay, thank you very much. So I'm going to ask that question again. Who is this first crowd? Neighbors. Acquaintances, friends, right? Okay, so the first voice we're going to talk about is the voice of familiarity. Did Jesus suffer from the voice of familiarity? What happened when he went back to Nazareth and he was trying to do miracles? What did they say? No way. Why did they say no way? We know this cat. That's a Joe Brazino translation. Isn't he the son of the carpenter? Isn't his mother Mary? And aren't his brothers and sisters thus and so? You find that in Matthew chapter 13. By name, they listed all his half-brothers and half-sisters. Isn't he this? What are they saying? I cannot receive from Christ because I know all there is to him. And whatever he claims to be, he cannot be that because I know the truth about him. That, church family, is the voice of familiarity. Mark it down. Sometimes when you get on fire for God and you want to follow Christ on this journey of faith, then don't be surprised if some of your loved ones are the ones that try to discourage you from your newfound faith. The voice of familiarity. Or friends. Oh, I've heard about them, that church. I heard about that crazy, rabble-rousing Latino American preacher who thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. I've heard about that. That is a cult. Not about our church, but who's ever heard that? Oh, I don't go to that Abundant Living Faith Center downtown El Paso because that's a cult. I know that Charles thing. He's all about money, money, money. That's what they used to say about my pastor. Had I listened to them, had I listened to that voice of familiarity, you know what? I would have missed out on all that God had for me through his ministry. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 10, the enemies, your enemies will come from your very own household? Or those who think they know you, or those who think they know better of you? I remember my paternal grandmother when my dad said, "Our son became a Protestant." Because I had upset generations. Listen carefully, church family. I'm speaking truth here. I'm not speaking it disrespectfully, but I want you to see an insight. I had upset an apple cart of generations of Roman Catholicism. This was not just an embarrassment to my parents. It was an embarrassment to the lineage. Yoo-hoo. And I remember my dad and my mom making fun of me and mocking me to try to get me to back down from my stand on Christ. Oh, he's a holy roller. He's Holy Joe. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, ha, ha. Well, you know, that only lasted so long because I outlasted that criticism. By the grace of God, I outlasted that persecution. Who would call that persecution? I mean, even knowing Cindy, she's on fire for the Lord. That girl has more questions about the word. She's always got me like, "Babe, let me catch my breath." Well, who are the cherubim? Babe, didn't I send you the link to Wednesday night Bible study? Well, that didn't register. Okay, let's talk about the cherubim. And so he's got me on my toes, don't you, babe? I know, right? Somebody's got to, right, Ms. Robin? But who said it other than, oh boy. I think you suffer from familiarity. I love Jeannie's got his amen sign. I love this. This is my amen corner. Mr. Genius. But you know, as on fire as she's been, she's met opposition from family. Am I right, babe? That church family is the voice of familiarity. Watch out and be on your guard, because those experts, supposed experts, self-proclaimed experts, don't know jack about Jesus, and they don't know jack about your faith, and they don't know jack about you. Amen. And listen, God blesses people who suffer persecution on account of Him and His word. You know, the book of Hebrews chapter 10 says, I'm not of those that withdraw from the Lord and the Lord has no pleasure in. I'm of those that stick around and inherit the promises of God. How about you? I'm not going to be swayed by the voice of familiarity. This is my life. If you want to be in the pit, miserable, and have a sucky life, and be a loser with the devil, the father, your father, the devil, your spiritual father, the devil, then have at it, baby, or friend. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Right? I'm not going to be swayed by familiarity. That's just one voice. Are you ready for another voice? Let's read on. All right, and then let's go down. Let's go down to verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to whom? This is the voice of religion. The voice of religion. First voice was familiarity. This is the voice of religion. Verse 14. Now, it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. He broke the rules. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? He opened your eyes. He said, he is a prophet. The blind man said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. Now, let's stop there. The voice of religion. Now, can we talk about religion, church family? There's a vast difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is a man-made institution of man-made rules. And often these rules are petty little rules. Religion makes mountains out of molehills. They emphasize the small and they neglect the big. Go with me to Matthew 23, please. Matthew chapter 23. We're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 24. Blind guides who strain out a what? A gnat and swallow a camel. What does that verse mean? Understand that there were hygienic laws in the law of Moses, and there were animals that were considered unclean. The camel was the largest animal that was considered unclean. The gnat was the smallest insect that was considered unclean. Noted what Jesus said. He said, when you find a gnat in your tea, so to speak, in your drinking water or something, you go through extra lengths. You go way overboard to make sure that that small little thing did not defile your drink, whether your tea, your whatever it was, water, drinking water. But then when it comes to the big matters, you swallow them whole. You major on minors and you minor on majors. Yoo-hoo. I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. And I remember one time I felt the Lord impressing me to teach about the great white throne judgment and about how people without Christ will be judged eternally and the books will be open and they'll be judged according to every single one of their sins because they rejected forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And interestingly enough, I had a young man. He was a police officer. He gave his life to the Lord. He came to me in tears. I prayed with him. He received Christ. He's been on fire ever since. His whole family's been on fire ever since. And you know, that afternoon when I finished meeting with him, because where this church was located across the field was a parsonage. So I walked across the field to get my mail and then walked into the parsonage. Well, I opened my mail and there was this card. It had my name on it, no return address, no nothing, and it was not, the card itself was nothing but, we don't need this kind of Baptist preaching in our church. It is hellfire, it is condemning, blah, blah, blah. They didn't even sign it. They didn't even sign it. And I thought, you know what? This is something else. One message, the same message, caused a young man to give his life to Christ. How many of y'all know that if you're a believer, shouldn't we rejoice? Isn't that the camel? Isn't that the big deal? But they got ticked off that the message was negative, condemning, hellish. Baby, it's a, oh, sorry, friend, it's a scripture. Cut me some grace. That deserved a baby, sorry. I'm like, you have it all jacked up. You don't even see the reality of scripture. You're so caught up with your little hang-up that you swallowed that camel whole. But here you are sending me a card, straining at a gnat. I remember the next Sunday, I got up and I said, look, this is all I said. I received a card. I said, there was no signature on it. And if you continue to send me cards with no signature, if you don't have the guts to put your name on that card, don't bother sending me that card because I'm not going to read it. Amen. Well, Pastor Joe, you're not loving. No, I'm loving. But some people, some Christians need to have the slack jerked out of them.
Amen.
Man. We say he's a good teacher of the word, then all of a sudden he goes to his head and he thinks he's the boss. Baby, I've always been like this. You push enough, I'm going to start pushing back. In love. How many of y'all like coming to church? Because it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what's going to come out of this mouth. It's all good. The voice of religion. Majors on minors. Minors on majors. Can we, listen, I'll say it like this. The main thing in church life, the main thing on our journey with Christ is to keep the main thing the main thing.
Amen.
Right? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Well, Pastor Joe, I don't like that you didn't shave this morning. There was a church when I was younger in my 20s, and I grew a goatee. Now, understand, back then, all my hair was black, so my beard was black, and I looked like a Mexican thug. Looking back, I don't know what I was thinking growing out that goatee. For real. And then all of a sudden, all the church ladies, I'm kidding you not, all the church ladies, Pastor Joe, shave it. Pastor Joe, get rid of that. Pastor Joe, we don't like the way you look. What does that have to do with the price of tangerines in China? See how we can be petty? Yoo-hoo. Well, not me, Pastor Joe. No, all of us can be petty. All right, that was two voices. We didn't get to the others. How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap, shall we, for his word? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Father, thank you for instructing us in the ways of your word. Father, thank you for loving us, Lord. Impart encouragement into our souls. Help us to tune out the wrong voices, the voice of familiarity and the voice of religion, Lord, that seeks to rob us of so much, God, from you. And we thank you, God, for loving us the way you do and for imparting the right voices into our lives and into our spiritual journeys. In Jesus' name, amen.